Hey y'all, what's up? This is episode 4. And you're now kicking it with Key. These are the thoughts and views of this panel as of December 5th, 2020. Their views may have changed since then. Please join me on my Facebook discussion group to see if their opinions have changed. All right, so good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to Kick It With Key. Today's topic is virtual learning and how we survived the first marking period. Of course, we will dive into deeper topics about virtual learning, but basically just trying to fill the room, see how, you know, what were your pros, what were your cons. And today we have some parents. We actually have a parent we have two parents that are also a teacher, because Danielle, your daughter's still in school, correct? All right, so we can get your point of view on both aspects, you know, from a parent side as well as from a teacher's point of view. So I'm going to ask that everyone introduce themselves, you know, state, you know, if you have a child, how old is your child? If you're a teacher, how long you've been teaching? And then we'll start the conversation from there. So Taisha, you get to open up the conversation, girl.
I'm Taisha. I'm a mom of two. Gary's in kindergarten. And the PEP program, he's special ed, also doing virtual learning as well.
Good morning, I'm Danielle. I'm an educator, been teaching for about 15, 16 years. I'm also a parent. I have a daughter. She is a senior, and we'll get into more of that later.
Hey everyone, my name is Tashara, or you can call me Tex. I'm a mother of an 8-year-old daughter. She's currently in third grade. I'm also an educator. I've been teaching for over 10 years. I have experience teaching first, second, third, and fourth grade. And this year I'm teaching third grade.
Hello, my name is Kataisha Sirleaf. I am a mom of three. I have a seventh grader, a third grader, and a newborn. So my experience is spanning out different levels of this virtual learning situation.
Hello, everyone. I'm LaToya. I am an educator going on year 10.
All right, so thank you, everyone, for introducing yourselves. For those who don't know, my name is Kiki. And I have two kids in school. I have a fourth grader who's in a Centers for Enriched Studies program. And then I have a first grader. This conversation is really important to me because sometimes I feel as though I am struggling as a parent, trying to make sure that I'm making the best decisions for my children. The first marking period, we survived, okay? No one failed, so clearly I'm doing a good job. I can't tell you how my mental health is going, but I'm making it. So I also would like to know if you are pro return to school, or are you, would you like to keep your child at home until this pandemic has settled?
All right, for me, I would gladly send both boys back to school whenever the doors open. They will be the first one in line, especially for my 4-year-old who's autistic. Like, virtual learning is not helping him at all. He's not getting his services he needs. And my kindergarten is a social butterfly, and he's trapped in the learning room by himself for 5-6 hours a day.
I am not in favor of sending my kids back to school. I don't know when I will be in favor of sending my kids back to school. And if they are sent back prematurely, they will be pulled out of school and will be homeschooled.
As an educator, I don't want to go back to school because, number one, I take Metro. And I don't know what they do. Metro's already nasty and dirty, some of these things. I know the school has been, even though we're not there, they've been taking precautions and things like that. But personally, we still have families who are testing positive for COVID. So no, I'm not going back to school. My daughter, she's older, so she's like, "Mommy, can you just send an email so I can get my diploma? I'm over it." She doesn't want to go back. And then it takes away from the process of the whole college experience, like preparing for college, because we're doing a lot of things on our own. And so she's just like kind of over it, and I feel bad for her.
I'm for going back to school if and only if the school districts take into consideration like input from the community, from staff, and that they develop and implement like a clear plan with like the protocols of how the day, what the day should look like. And also I think that the school district should set a threshold. So like if the counties reach a certain amount of positive cases, then schools will be returned back to virtual. But my biggest fear is that the districts aren't going to do that yet, or they haven't done it yet.
Honestly, I am ready to go back. I do want to go back only when it's clear and safe, but I am ready to go back. I'm not motivated at home. I feel like I'm not giving my students their best because I know they're not giving me their best. It's hard to do a lot of things virtually as an educator. I feel like I gotta be a comedian. I gotta be just doing too much. Like, I can't just give you my best as an educator. I'm trying to keep you entertained. I gotta fight against your siblings, make sure your cameras, it's just too much going on virtually. So I would rather be back in the classroom. And again, it's funny because I would never thought I would say I miss setting up my classroom. I miss walking the halls. I just miss interactions, honestly. So I am pro go back, but it gotta be like safe, and there's no point in going back and we're gonna shut right back down.
And I agree with that, because I feel as though if we do send the children back, let's say February, as the survey from Montgomery County Public Schools just closed on Thursday, asking our input if the children should, if you're comfortable with sending your child back in a phased-in approach. And then we'll turn right back around and have to close. I do understand that the children need social interaction. I do understand that, you know, because my child suffers from, well, I don't want to say suffer, but my child is clinically diagnosed as being ADD, having ADD. And so his attention span is like that. So there is, it's really a lot of struggle for him. And I kind of went back and forth about, do I send him back? I'll keep my daughter home, but do I send him back? And I just feel like that's just a really big decision that I have to make by December 3rd for February, because in February I may not feel the same way that I feel today. So I'm at the point now that if they have to return to school and they have to wear the mask, I don't think I'm going to be comfortable with that, because my son does not like to keep the mask on. So, and then we have to think about, I have a first grader, I have a fourth grader. So it's probably like, "Oh, your mask is cute. Can I wear your mask?" Like, child, what is you doing? No, you cannot wear my mask. We cannot share masks. We cannot trade them. It's not a Pokemon card. And that's my fear. Like, my daughter's school is already understaffed. So who's going to make sure that they're not out here switching masks when they're in the bathroom, or, you know, what does lunch look like? I just don't know. So Taisha, I understand like you want to send the kids back to school. What is the main reason for wanting to send them back, other than like social interaction? Like, are you also taking into account that they have to still keep their mask on? Like, are your boys keeping their mask on and things of that nature?
So Grayson goes to a private preschool 2 days a week for social interaction. He wears his mask for the good first hour. I'm not big on the kids wearing the mask. They don't wear their mask anywhere we go because they don't keep it on. So, and I'm not sure if our little cloth mask that we got from Old Navy is really doing anything, I can say. Gary goes to camp. He wears his mask at camp. So I'm not really concerned about wearing the mask. And as we look at in Europe, the schools, they're in school and the elementary school kids do not have to wear a mask in groups less than six. And the transmission rate in Europe in school is 0.1%. So the risk is low if they don't wear masks. The risk is low inside the school, even though their community rates is above 11%, the school transmission rate is low. And that's probably because kids are not super spreaders like they originally thought. And that's why I'm not really concerned if the kids going to school in person. And both of our boys, we've been play dates, we've been to vacation and everything, and we washed our hands. The kids didn't wear a mask, but we did, and we've all been safe and fine since March.
Go ahead, Katisha.
I think comparing, look, I'm just going to go back to what Taisha said. I'm comparing Europe to what we're doing. I find that as Americans, we tend to be selfish as a whole. We tend to think about what's good for me is good for me. So our transmission rates are probably higher than other countries because of that fact. I was on the Board of Education meeting on Thursday, and just for the county where my kids go to school, our transmission rate is 28.1%. At that rate, our kids can't go back to school. It has to be, I think, under 15 or something of that nature. And at that high rate, our kids can't go back to school. What is a challenge for me for having my child go back to school is that I can't dictate how other parents parent their kids, and I cannot put my child at risk. So in response to what you said, Taisha, that you have had play dates and may not wear a mask at certain events, that pattern can be brought into the school where a child can tell a teacher, I'm not wearing a mask, which puts my child, my child's teacher, other administrators at risk. I can't do that. I have to be in control of my kids and what they're doing. And the only way that I can be in control of my kids and keeping them safe is keeping them at home.
Okay, to be clear, the 5-year-old Gary, if you tell him to put on his mask, he will put on his mask. My 4-year-old's autistic, so it's a sensory situation with him. It just depends how he feels and the mood that he's in. So his is different, and at his preschool, he's not required to wear a mask, but then he sees other kids with it and he will wear it. And also I want to say, which are 28% in your county of transmission. So New York City is very high as well. And they actually went back to school. They have 1.1 million kids in their school system. And they took a 2-week break, but they are going back on the 7th. And their transmission rate is extremely low as well. And I mean, we're all at risk every time we walk out of our house. And I'm not sure how old your kids are, but my kids are suffering in person. In virtual learning, it's not helping at all for my kids. So that's the only reason why go ahead.
Can you speak on what is not working for your kids?
So
specifically?
I have Grayson the other day. His teacher is going over like the alphabet. He's playing with the door stopper. So he doesn't know what's going on. He's just sitting there playing with the door stopper. They do virtual speech. The teacher can't really hear him. He's not staring at a screen because he doesn't really care for the screen to try to do virtual speech. Virtual OT, the occupational therapist is trying to teach me how to teach my son OT skills, like how to hold a pencil. I can't teach him that. I'm not skilled in how a 4-year-old is supposed to hold a pencil or how you're supposed to hold your hand. My 5-year-old, he sits in his room. He cries sometimes. He missed going to school. He went to preschool prior to the shutdown. He just missed having someone next to him. We had a pod going until the numbers increased, and then the parents backed out. So he was doing great with his little pod, but now he doesn't have that pod, and now he's just sad. He misses people. He missed laughing and joking with his friends. There's 25 kids in his class, and trying to be heard with 25 kids or raising your hand and the teacher has to scroll through to see if you're raising your hand. Sometimes he's lost. He doesn't know what she's saying and he's raising his hand for a good 15 minutes and she doesn't see it because you can only see a few people at a time. And that's not working. And it's a lot for me. I have to sit with Grayson and try to sit him back in a chair every 20 seconds. He gets up and move. And I'm not advocating for all kids to go back, but I do think the younger kids need to be in person, especially the special education kids, if their parents want them to go back.
Well, I have a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a newborn. I think when I hear the social part of it, it brings me pause because even if they go back, the social aspect is not going to be what we think it's going to be. So we're going to make kids go to a classroom and then still tell them, you can't talk to your friend. You can't touch them. There's no recess. There's still going to be the temptation of having them in a room where they think they can be social and they can't. That's even another issue for me for why I don't want to send them back, because I don't want to tempt them and say, there's your best friend that you haven't seen all year, but you need to socially distance from them because of the rules that the county may have in place.
I'm not sure how Montgomery County is going to lay out the classroom, but our cousin lives in New York and they are allowed to, she's in kindergarten as well. They're allowed to socialize with their friends. They are allowed to sit at a table with their friends, two kids to a table. They have their recess. And we know a few people that live in Carroll County when they went back for just a month, they were allowed to socialize with their friends. I'm not sure how Montgomery County is going to do it. I'm not sure. But I know in New York City, they were allowed to interact. Lunch was in the classroom, but you were allowed to interact with the people in your classroom. They went 2 days a week, but you're allowed to move about the classrooms like it was previous before the pandemic with the mask on. And they have mask-free corners that you can take off your mask and breathe in this corner. But I don't know what it's gonna look like, but if we take notes from Europe and New York, I feel like the kids will be okay.
As an educator, I'm gonna speak from the side I see. I get both points of views because I understand them both. I get the kids' social needs and need to be, but then I also think about when we were in school and how much we had to fight. Well, stop touching each other. Stop doing this, stop doing that. And this is before COVID. So we talk about how parents sent kids to school with tummy aches and fevers. And these are pre-COVID. So I get it. I miss being in the classroom. I miss being at school. I miss writing on the board and having kids talk to. I get both aspects of it, but I am going to lean more to staying home if it means I'm going to stay safe. Because it's a lot, it's a challenge with just, when I had a class of 20 kids, and now we're going to minimize it to 10. Where's the rest of the other 10 going to go? It's like, we don't have enough space to have the distance kids enough. Like class, we will have to build a whole nother school with 10 more levels to fit every kid at that distance. And so, and I get some parents like, but I understand, like I get calls often. When we going back? Cause I'm tired of them being in here. I'm not your kid babysitter. I'm your teacher. Like, stop calling me. I don't know when we going back. I find out when you find out. But I get it though. I get wanting to send them back. And I'm like, the little kids definitely need it. I'm pretty sure it's real hard for a little kid to sit in front of the computer all day. Because as a teacher, it's hard for me sitting in front of this computer all day. So I definitely understand, but I'm going to lean more to, let's make sure we can do this safely. You can lay out a plan that I can guarantee you're going to be safe. I'd be the first to sign back up to go back.
All right, yeah, so a couple of things. I know with my school, so I teach in DC. So the elementary school, they just started implementing scheduled and organized play dates. So the students, they're outside, they have to wear their masks. I don't know how long it is. So I don't know, maybe that's an option that can be brought up. Also with Toya, like I do miss, I just had a whole meltdown last week. Like, and I was talking to my therapist and she was like, a lot of people right now are at the point. Like we've been home, you know, and it's so hard. It's hard when I see my child and she's like, I don't know if I could do this till May. And she did a 3.0. She could have done better. I was happy with a 3.0 because I understand. As an educator, it's disheartening because I teach eighth grade. And I got an email the other day and it was like, Ms. Jones, 5 of your students have D's and 72 have F's. And I'm just like, I'm upset. I'm crying. And my boyfriend's like, what do you get? Why are you crying? And I'm like, because it's frustrating. I don't have that control that I can't. And I understand like a lot of our children are hands-on. They want me to be standing over them and they'd be like, oh, you know, Ms. Jones, is this right? Is this, oh, I have a paper. Is this right? Is this right? And I'm like, okay. And I can give them on the spot feedback, but now I have to wait for them to turn something in. I give them feedback and a lot of them are just not doing it a lot. And then out of those 72, then we have to look at, okay, how many of them are attendance issues? Because we have some that are just not coming in to class. And for me, when I see some students, they are failing my class in math, but they're thriving in science and social studies and some of their elective classes. So then it's like, what is it about English and math that students are struggling with? Because those are two classes. Those are two classes that are, first of all, those content areas are tested all the time. No matter where you go, we do iReady, we do PARC, we do all the stuff in between, and it's always math and ELA. And lastly, my sister lives in England. She lives in Southampton, and the numbers are going up there. She's actually still in school, but their numbers are going up. It started in London and now it's spreading. And I think they had a high success rate because a lot of people in general were following these mandates. Wear the mask, stay home, and you know, let this try to fan out. Now numbers are going back up. And she's like, she can go to work, but she can't go to the gym because like some things are closing back down over there. And we won't, and even I'll bring it up, even if there's a vaccine, I still don't know, number one, I'm not taking the vaccine. And I still don't know if I will be comfortable enough going back with the vaccine. Like there's so many different variables and what if that it's just, you know, we're getting, as educators, we're getting hit as far as what else can you do? What else can you do? No one, so you teach me how to do it because I've never taught in a pandemic. Have you taught in a pandemic? No. No one's ever been in a pandemic before. It's been over 100 years since the last pandemic. So I think we also need to show a little bit of grace, patience, understanding, because in the beginning, it was my pet peeve when parents would say, I'm homeschooling. You're not homeschooling. You're home supervising while your child's in school. Let's be clear. So it's just a lot. It's a lot to take in. And you know, there are still some days that I just want to break down and cry, but I have to be on for my students. Like I've put on a t-shirt over my pajamas, you know, just to keep myself in some kind of headspace. And then finding those boundaries, like what time do I shut the computer off? What time do, so I can like let Ms. Jones go and be Danielle. It is a lot. It is a lot. So
Danielle, you took away my teaching degree, girl, because you know, whole time I thought I was a teacher over here. You know, I'm learning Eureka. I didn't say it to you. Tell me some Eureka, girl. What's going on? Show me page 52 in your Succeed book, okay? So I can help Roland. But go ahead, text Sarah. And then I will circle back because I did have questions about the vaccine as well.
So as I stated earlier, I'm a teacher. I teach third grade. And I will say, speaking to my experience with virtual learning, luckily for me, I've had an extremely positive experience so far. My administration, my school is extremely supportive. I have colleagues that I can ask for assistance. My parents, my students, they're all fantastic. Majority of my students show up, they do the work. But I say all that to say that this is still very, this experience, even though it's been very, I've had positive interaction with the people I'm working with, it's still very exhausting and very draining. To go to a sedentary life, to have to sit in front of a computer, literally sit in front of a computer, because with educators, we can't move around. We're literally in a meeting all day, every day. And then we have meetings after, you know, one time I spent 10 hours on a computer, facing a computer nonstop in one day. And I'm an adult and I feel bad for my kids. I give them assignments and I spread them out. I have them completed by the end of the week so that they don't all have to do it in one sitting, but I do get concerned with their computers sitting in front of the computer screen, the health, the toll that it takes on them. But I know, every day, I know what makes it easier for me as well is that, when I get up in the morning, I check on them. I ask them to share how they're feeling. We do some breathing exercises. And just to hear that, when I ask them how they're doing, they'll say that they're doing out of one out of five, they're doing a four, because they get to see their friends and their classmates and their teachers. It just makes it easier, but it's just virtual learning is very exhausting. The burnout is real.
That's what I was going to say too. The teachers are superheroes. And we had some parents in my son's class like flipping out on the teachers. Like they didn't make the kids take the MAP. It wasn't their decision. It was Montgomery County school system decision for them to take the MAP and have the kids sit there. I praise my kids' teacher, even though the whole situation sucks. They're trying their best. They're doing an awesome job. Even though I'm stressed out and they're doing the best they can do virtually. And I appreciate even my son's teacher with 25 kids. I told her he's struggling. He needs maybe just a one-on-one. So she gives him one time a week. She gives him 10 minutes of just him and her. Like whatever you want to talk, he showed her his room. They played cards together. I appreciate that because she didn't have to take her lunch period to do that for my son. So the teachers are doing a great job and I appreciate every effort they are trying, like in this pandemic, they're doing great to me. That's all I wanted to say.
I want to say thank you. I appreciate that. We don't hear that enough. I get calls, like you said, I get called at the crack of dawn to late hours in the night. Miss Walker, I had a parent get an attitude with me because I didn't answer her at 9:30 at night. So I called you last night. I know the key word was last night. I need them to understand like, It frustrates me in this pandemic because it was bad enough at school when they thought we were supposed to be available to them at all hours. Now they feel like, oh, well, you at home, you ain't doing nothing. You can help my kid. No, I cannot. I have a life outside of being Ms. Walker. Like she asked me, well, can you call me when you get to where you're going so I could call him on three-way and you can help him? Hell no, I cannot. I will not. Like I'm trying to find the most politest way to tell parents, after 5 o'clock, don't call me. Don't text me. I'm not Ms. Walker anymore. So when y'all can help me out with this, I need a real nice wordy email so I can send these parents. So
I need Natasha got you, girl. Because that's actually got the emails, girl. Yeah,
it's like, this rate, I'm like, leave me the hell alone. It is 5:45 p.m. Like, leave me alone. So, yeah, I need
that. Give them your number. Why did you?
So, let me tell you why I gave you my number. Because, I like to communicate with parents, and I hate talking on the phone. So, I'll text a parent in a heartbeat. Your kid missed 15 assignments. Let's get that done.
Okay.
But I can't get Google numbers because I'll forget that. And then I'd be like, sure, because I'd be like, oh, shoot, I ain't never checked that. And they'd be like, well, I'd be calling you, you don't answer. And I'd be like, oh,
shoot. So that's on X. First of all, Toya, not to stray off topic, because you already going through something with your phone number.
I'm sorry. Let me tell y'all real quick. It's this YouTuber who has this Roblox or whatever. And she posted a phone number on YouTube. Do you all understand how many texts, calls, FaceTimes I didn't have in the last 5 days? And kids, these are children, by the way. I didn't call her a bitch 3 times, told me I was rude, because I kept saying I am not this mega player. Yes, you are. How you will tell me who I am? And you called my phone. And they be like, well, who are you? Ask your kids, do they talk to strangers on the internet? Because I had found out kids be texting and calling strangers and be upset when I'm not them. I'm like, y'all do this? Your parents know you calling this lady? Like, if I was her, y'all don't know me. Why you calling strangers? It's a lot. Yeah.
So, yeah, I was going to ask you, too, like, you gave out your real number or a Google number? Because at first I thought the lyrics teacher had gave me, like, her phone number. But when I called, I said, oh, this is a Google number. I said, oh, sis smart. Okay.
I will forget it.
Yes, that's
And then I number, and I won't know it. So it's just easy to give. Plus, I like making connections with my parents. Like I told the parents years later, so I don't mind the phone number because I will ignore you until the next morning, and you'll just be upset. Like it's real easy. But I just need to like I never worded it, and I need to be like clear. Don't call me at the fact.
We have a 24 to 48 hour rule. So even with students, they be like, Ms. Jones, I text you on Friday. Okay. Well, and I told them up front, I said, Ms. Jones does have a life. So I will get back with you in the next business. I had people texting me over the break. A parent used my Calendly to try to make an appointment on the month. We had the whole week off for Thanksgiving. I ignored it. And she rescheduled for the following month. Like you have, that goes back to the boundaries. You have to set boundaries. Or else it's going to drive you crazy. So I do, it does say in my handbook, so if a parent ever has a problem, I can refer them back to the handbook. Like we have to have a life. I've had kids, one boy was like, can you, you haven't checked my grades. Excuse me? Okay, well, and then he came back and like rephrased, I'm sorry, my bad, you know, and all, because they know like you have to come correct in order for you to get a little bit, you know, what they say, you can get more bees with honey than you can with, okay. So, you know, and the same boy, he texted me, he G-chatted me yesterday and he was like, Ms. Jones, I did my work. Can you, I said, when I get a chance, I will look at it and I will grade it. He gave me a big heart emoji because you know, like you can't just, oh, I did my work. Can you grade it? Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, my parents, they have my personal number. I haven't had anything too crazy happen before, but I don't mind. Sometimes the kids will hit me up, especially during what we're going through right now. I do know, I don't mind being a little bit more accessible to my kids. But yeah, I haven't had anything too crazy happen before with my phone number, giving out my personal number.
Consider yourself blessed. I have kids FaceTime me. I had a kid FaceTime me a Saturday morning. I said, what are you calling me for? What is wrong with you? Her mother was like, oh, my phone matched her. So she got, oh, yeah. No, tell your kid, don't FaceTime me. I had a bonnet on and everything. I said, I will not. What is going on? This is a Saturday morning. If you don't leave me alone.
Now, the kids will G-chat me up in a minute. And I don't mind because I told them, like, so we use Canvas as our platform. So I told them, say, you can email me through Canvas. You can email me through my school email. You could G-chat me. Very few students have my phone number. Very few parents. I did a Google Voice, so they use that. But a lot of them, a lot of parents will email me too. So I don't have, but again, that's the 24 to 48 hour rule. So get what you get.
Right. I mean, a parent can text me or call me, but you know, it's about setting boundaries. And I do have a personal life. Like I'm not always on my phone. Anybody that knows me, if you want to hide something from me, put it in a text or in an email because I won't see it. But yeah, you know, we have a 24 to 48 hours rule as well.
All right. So not to rehash or go back, but I did want to make mention of this. Taisha, you spoke on like how New York's numbers were and how Europe's numbers were. Danielle did kind of touch on Europe about how they actually followed protocols before, you know, the mandates, you know, wearing your mask and stuff. But America, the whole Americas, did not do this. I don't feel like America took it as serious as it should have been taken from the beginning, which now, whereas New York as the state itself, I feel like if the country followed how New York did, even how Maryland has rallied for us, I think that we will probably be more in a more comfortable position to maybe have faith or trust that we could send the children back to school, but it didn't happen like that, you know? But like how you're speaking on Grayson, like I really, like I sympathize. I'm gonna empathize or sympathy, one of them, girl, with you. Because maybe that's why my kids should go back to school. Anyways, with Grayson, because I feel the same struggles with Roland. Because Lyric has thrived. Okay, virtual learning I honestly feel like virtual learning was better for Lyric than it was for Roland. So I feel like Roland has rolled back where Lyric has like pushed forward. So I think that, you know, I can actually write a pros and cons list when it comes to them. Like, oh, these are the good things that happen and these are the bad things that happen. I also have to remember that my son is not Lyric, right? They're two different people. So how Roland learns is not going to be the same way as how Lyric learns. But I also think that this time gives me a chance to see like what I need to focus on so I can be like, okay, this is what my son needs when he returns to school, or this is what my daughter needs when she returns to school. But I will tell you this, when they first switched to virtual learning back in March, and you know, the school year was over, and then I put my kids in summer school because I didn't want them to have that long period, that break, and then it was like trying to start all over. When Lyric's summer school teacher is her first grade teacher now. When she started summer school, Lyric was really like, I can't read, I can't count, I can't. Now Lyric's like, oh, can I read? 10 plus 10 plus 2 is 22. I'm like, okay, girl. Okay. Roland, I think you have that option where you can kind of duck off so that you don't necessarily have to be seen, because my son has been caught watching Dragon Ball Z when he should be reading a story. You know, he has been sleeping, telling me he's resting his eyes and he's listening, but he is snoring. He is sleeping. So there are struggles on both sides of the table. You get what I'm saying? But at the same time, I just can't see how I can take the risk and then he catch the COVID. Then how I'm going to survive? What I'm going to do? Because I didn't push this butt back to school because he was getting on my nerves. So my question to you real quick, and then I see that we have other questions, but to Taisha, is it more so like, are the kids getting on your nerves? Is it the fact that you're struggling trying to teach them and it's like, you're not a teacher, so it's like, this is hard for me? Or is it the fact like you feel like they need the social interaction? Like, what is the one reason that like pushes you to be pro return to school?
So they're not getting, you know, I've been a stay-at-home mom now for 5-6 years. So they're not getting on my nerves, like not at all. And I can't teach Gary anything because I don't know what the heck is going on in Spanish. It's legit, it's more Grayson. Like if Gary doesn't return to school, I am okay. But Grayson, so he was already jumping hurdles. He's already delayed. He's at a 2-year-old level and at 4. So he's already jumping hurdles. And with this virtual learning, he has 50 more hurdles to jump over because he's not getting the support. Like I'm mom. I'm not a speech therapist. I'm not OT. I'm not any of that. And so that's what's pushing me more for Grayson. Gary will be just fine sitting at home, even though he's sad. He doesn't need the services. He doesn't need anything from, like he needs his teacher, but he doesn't get services from the school. I'm more pushing for Grayson, the special ed, the pep kids to go back to school so they can get their services. I'm not, because the transmission rate is low, he goes to private school, preschool. There's no, it hasn't been a transmission. We get our temperatures checked. The kids wash their hands when they walk in. Some of them wear masks, some of them don't. The teachers wear their masks. We do this little questionnaire, and that's been since September. It's not, haven't been one case yet. So that's why I'm more like, the pep kids can do it. There's only 4 kids in Grayson's pep class through the county. So 4 kids go to school and the 2 teachers is 6. I think that safely can be done. That's why.
That's what you got to lead with your platform, girl, with your stance. Because I was sitting here like, girl, why you want these kids to go to school? No. But now that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, because my school was thinking about, especially with our special ed population, they were thinking about doing the small groups with them. I don't know if that is going to be implemented, but I was going to ask, has there been conversation about that? So they can be like, even if it's, you know, you said there were 4, they might have to break them up 2 and 2, you know, just in order, maybe once or twice a week in order for them to get that social interaction and get their services.
Yeah, so what Grayson's teacher said, they won't break them up because I think they, for PEP, they can have up to 8 kids safely in the classroom. That's the county. They say won't break them up. They will actually go 4 days with Wednesday being a clean day if they do decide to go back. And unless they get more kids in the class, they won't break the kids up. They'll stick with the 4 that's in the class. And then they will get their services. So Grayson's supposed to have 90 hours of speech a week and he's barely getting 30 minutes. That's how long he can sit there for the week. So he may sit there 5 minutes on Monday and 10 minutes on Tuesday. And the only reason why he's still enrolled with the county, I didn't withdraw him because if I do, I will have to start the whole process over. I would have to get him reevaluated with child fine. It would just be too much. So he comes to class when he wants to. And he tries to participate in services. And I don't know. My speech is not the great. I can't pronounce some words. So me trying to get my kid to pronounce something, it's terrible. And me trying to get them to count to 5, because that's what they're working on. If I want to, I will. Like, there's a bucket. I'm in the kids' learning room now. There's a bucket in the room. Yesterday, he sat in a bucket, and that's how he wanted to learn. So I allowed that to happen. So and sometimes he wants to sit outside, 20-degree weather, we're outside. So just so he can learn. It's just been tough for Grayson.
Thank you, Taisha. Go ahead, Texera.
Okay, so go ahead, Lyric. I see you out there doing your thing. Go ahead, girl. I'm proud of you. That's she takes after her mother, a little shining star. And of course, I wanted
Ain't
to give
you
a
so
shout
sweet.
Out. That's my boo right there. You know I love me some Lyric. And Roland, Roland been here before, so Roland's going to do what he wants to do. That's a grown man right there. But I want to give a shout out to Patience because she got straight A's. And one thing that I've been struggling with, well, she got straight A's this past quarter. And one thing that I've been struggling with is that we have the same hours. So my day starts at 8:45, her day starts at 8:45. We go on lunch at 11:30 at the same time. And I have to go back to school before she does. So I don't really get to see her when she's doing her virtual learning. So we're in separate rooms because I'm teaching and then she needs to be paying attention. So I don't really have any hands on her learning while she's in school. Like I ask her after and I ask, check her work. So I'm just very proud of her. You know, she has an alarm on her phone. She has alarms on her phone. So she gets up and knows when to go to class. So I'm very proud of her. And then to circle back to what was being discussed earlier about meeting kids that have special needs. I know in DC, they started CARES classrooms at the elementary level where there was a lottery system and families were picked. And then it was also as a need, first it was, I think it was also as an ads need basis. And families were able to send their kids into the classrooms. It was one grade level per class, one classroom per grade level, up to 11 kids. And the kids are currently right now going to school. There's temperature checks, and there's an adult with that has gone through a background check. They're a DCPS employee, and they're supervising the kids. So that's how I know that DC is accommodating those families' needs. I wonder if any of the other districts in this area plan to do that.
Montgomery County does have the CARES program. Now, whereas the kids are not going into the school, they do get a special Zoom in the afternoon. And sometimes they're ranging from like 4 o'clock to 6 p.m. So there's a smaller class setting for them to have that kind of one-on-one. It's not necessarily one-on-one, but that smaller group setting. So Lyric is participating in that. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, okay. Y'all put Lyric in it, cool. So she does it 3 days a week, but it's like Rolling. What y'all gonna do for Rolling? Rolling needed, not Lyric. Go ahead, Kasaisha.
My kids are thriving in the virtual learning setting, so much so that I consider homeschooling full time, because I find that there are certain distractions that they are not experiencing because they are not in a normal school setting. For example, my son is class clown. My son wants to ask me for some Supreme clothes for Christmas. What? He wants to wear certain things. He's a class clown. He's a social butterfly. And because he was trying to, you know, be that way, his grades suffered, and that's been taken off the table. All you're doing is work. So he's flourishing. But there are things that he may, for example, he does struggle in English. And that was something that his guidance counselor, his principal, his English teacher came together and said, Toria needs to be a part of an extended day program. So he'll finish school, he'll have time for a break, get a snack. He goes back into a supplemental program to help him with his English, where he will have more specialized care. Same thing with my daughter. My daughter is flourishing, but she has some delay with math. So she was enrolled in a math program. Her principal, her math teacher, her counselor got together and said, what resources can we get for Anaya? So she's doing well in math. She's enrolled. These are not programs that you're like, would you like to enroll? No, your child is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They are enrolled. I appreciate my county doing that for my kids.
And the I'm sorry.
I'm in Montgomery County.
You're in Montgomery County?
Oh. Yes. Okay. The other thing that I wanted to touch on is I see myself as my child's primary teacher. I see public school as supplemental to what I teach them. So when my kids start school, the principal knows who I am, the guidance counselor knows who I am, their math, reading, music, science teacher, whoever knows who I am. Because with especially little Black boys will get left behind if their parents are not involved in their education. The fact of the matter is, in my county, over almost 60% of the teachers are white, and they may not see my son as having priority or giving them the attention that they need, because him being bored in class is now categorized as ADD. No. So I am their teacher. So it is my requirement to know what they're doing. It's my, I'm back in school to keep it funky. I'm in school with them. I need to know how to do this daggone new math that they got going on. And I got to figure out how to do this new English they got going on. And we doing science experiments. So I take on the role as their teacher so that when they're in school, they're getting what they get from the school that they're supposed to get. But we doing school here. That's what's supposed to be happening, because y'all teachers are not supposed to be doing this on your own. It's supposed to be a collaborative effort. And that's the problem. Another reason why I don't want the kids to go back to school is because we as parents put so much pressure, so much expectations on you. And then we're just keep adding and adding and adding and adding and adding to it. The other thing that I was going to touch
on. Okay, notes. Come on, notes.
Yeah, I got some notes. I need to make sure that I have everything. Oh, the other thing is, the other thing that I have is I am very vocal with communicating with my kids' teachers. I had a baby in August. So when school started, I had a meeting with all of their teachers. There are going to be days when they are not going to be in school. There are going to be days when we just cannot get it together. So if they need two or three more days, I need you to let that happen. And you know what the teacher says? Yes. Thank you for communicating what the expectations are, letting me know what you can and cannot do so that we can build a plan that works for your child. And most teachers, or all the teachers that I have experienced, are doing that, saying, if you communicate with me what we can do, we can have your kid be successful. But if you're hanging out in the background, not letting me know what's going on, there's no way that I can help your kid. It just looks like, oh, you, little Johnny don't want to be bothered today, so I'm gonna let little Johnny be bothered because that's one less kid I got to worry about. Hello? No. Torian's having an issue. We need to talk about how to help Torian. We're going to implement a plan that works in the virtual setting and at home for him to succeed. And when you communicate with the teacher, they are more than happy to assist you. But you can't call me as a teacher cursing me out because my child's failing. And well, I don't know what's happening at home. I don't know what services, what you're providing for your child at home. The last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm gonna go back out of it, is that there on the Montgomery County website, there are tons of resources for parents. There's still the Saturday school program that they have for kids that can help them. There are some community programs. There are tons of tutoring programs. You know, I am a part of a village where when I'm having a bad day or I need some help or I need guidance on how to do it, I have my village that I can go to and turn to and say, hey, how does this work? All of our kids are around the same age, so we can bounce ideas off of each other. If we need to come up with a learning environment that works for us, we can do that too. Thank you.
Yes, girl, you bet. Why your hand raised back up? Put your lower your hand. Thank you, girl. Lower your hand. So I will say that, like, I do, communication really is key. Like, it is important. So for Roland's teacher, like, you know, she called me. She was like, yeah, Roland's not turning his assignments. And I'm like, okay, so what way can we come up so I can know what assignments are due? Like, so I can follow along. So initially, you know, everybody got their headphones, right? Because I'm working too. So it's not like I'm just sitting here trying to be a teacher. Like, I'm trying to wear many hats. So now I've rearranged my work schedule so that way I could wake up earlier, try to get so much of my work done in the first part of the morning. And then while they're on their lunch break, that's a busy part of the day. And then I don't know what that means. So I told Roland to take the headphones off so I can hear what the teacher's saying. So if the teacher's like, we're in the Succeed book, page 22, or the Learn book, page 157, I'm like looking at him like, why isn't the book open? You know, what's going on? And it's not that Roland cannot do the work. It's not that Roland does not understand. My son is very intelligent. He just does not want to do it. He does not want to, if he's sitting at the computer, he feels like he should be watching TV or he should be able to play a game. So these are the struggles that we have. But that's no fault of virtual learning. That's no fault of, you know, Montgomery County Public Schools. That's my baby. You get what I'm saying? So that's not what he interested in. But when we get that list and I could go back through that list, like, okay, this is the assignments that need to be turned in. The teacher has worked with me. I said, well, can you send me a note to let me know if an assignment isn't turned in, because I can't stand over him to make sure that he did the assignment and submitted it. So now, shout out to all these little apps. Okay, I got the Parent View app. I have the Student Canvas app. So I'm logged in as them. So the messages that the teacher sends to the student, I get them to my phone. And I'm like, oh, you didn't turn in this assignment? So before you go to lunch, let's get this assignment done. If the assignment takes you the whole lunch and you don't get to eat, sorry, that's on you, because you should have did it when it was due. So these are things that I'm not sure every parent has the same, you know, Kataisha and I values, where it's like, nah, yes, you are a tool for us, okay? You teach my child something and then I'm supposed to come back and reiterate it and make sure they learn it. Not every parent is like that. I feel that way even with like the PTA. People have their stigma about what the PTA should be. And it's just like, if you show up for your child, do you know how far your child could go? Like, people who hate virtual learning, do you know how far your child could be going in virtual learning if you just put just this much effort into with the helping your teacher, your child's teacher? But you know, I digress. I'm coming off the soapbox. Toya Texera.
All right. So I want to mention about how I know you always talk about kids going to school. I work with a friendship school. So all the friendship schools have learning hubs. And I see like it helps with the kids who attention span at home didn't help. But then I do say it is safe for them. They won't let teachers do it because it's so much more on top of our daily work already. Because like you're responsible for making sure the kids in your learning hub are online, and I ain't got time for all that. However, I will say, like, one of the most frustrating parts of virtual teaching for me is the lack of work completion. And I'm a teacher, like, I hate grading late work. However, I tell my students at the very beginning of school, failure is not an option in my class. So if that means I got to give you week after week, reminder after reminder to get the work done, because like Danielle said earlier, it's not going to fall on, well, the kids didn't do the assignment, so they earned the F. No, why does 15 of your kids have Fs? So now you're looking at me saying I'm an incompetent educator. So I make sure at this point in virtual teaching, I didn't cover it. I dojo everything. Everything I give to Google Classroom, I put it on Dojo so parents can see. And it's so frustrating for parents who are like, well, I didn't know. Well, you didn't read. That's my frustration. And so parts of me, I wanted to, like, if you would have took the 5 seconds to read the night, and I make everything all pretty and color coordinated, I got the emojis where you like, this is your grade, these are what's missing, this goes for this week. I didn't put in so much work. So it makes me so frustrated when as a parent, they be like, oh, well, I didn't know they were missing that. Yes, you did, because I didn't post it 5 different times. This is missing. They have this time. I gave them until Thanksgiving break. Still have kids missing all the time. I'm giving them until Christmas. Get the work done. There's no excuses. And I guarantee you, come January when we go back to school, oh, well, I didn't know they was missing that. And at that point, I don't have nothing to say. You're just going to take your F.
Just one quick point. I'm sorry to come out of line. I enjoy Montgomery County for the middle school and high schoolers having that Wednesday open for teacher check-ins to complete assignments that they didn't have. I feel like that should be implemented throughout the whenever they return, because they have Wednesday to go back with their teachers to have extra learning time to submit assignments that they may have missed. And they just have that whole day to get caught up before they move on to their next segment of classes. I enjoy that. I appreciate Montgomery County for doing that.
I was just going to piggyback off of what Katasha was saying earlier about communication is key. As a teacher, I know it's, and a parent, I know it's very, it can be very exhausting to be in front of the screen all day. Every day is not going to be your best day. So I tell my parents, and I tell the kids, if you need a break, let me know. If you need some extra time to complete an assignment, let me know. If you have any concerns, let me know and we can work out something together. I don't want any of my kids to fail. I want everyone to be successful. And I know that this is a very trying time. You just have to let me know. And I'm willing to make accommodations within reason. That's what I was just piggybacking off of what she said about communication is key. And as parents, you are your child's biggest advocate. You see your child every day, all day now. So you have to advocate for your child.
Yeah, I was going to piggyback off of Toya, you know, with the communication piece. Like we, with our platform, well, with Canvas, I can email students like who don't turn in assignments. But then with our grading platform, I can actually send out a missing assignments report. And so I put that on my calendar because I did at in the beginning, I'm thinking, okay, these kids are home. The parents should be like seeing what's going on. And so I wasn't communicating as much in the beginning. And then, you know, I had a parent try to come for me, but I still had my I's dotted and my T's crossed. Like, you're not going to, I've been doing this for a very long time. Like, I know what I'm doing. And it's still frustrating because I'll send out the missing assignment reports. We do, so I only see my students twice a week. I see two different groups of students twice a week. But this past week, I do have my student check-ins. And then next week, I'll be doing my phone calls and things like that. But it's just like, it just still amazes me how parents were like, oh, I didn't know. Like, what you mean you didn't know? You can go on Canvas, you can go on Infinite Canvas. I sent out the missing assignment report. What you mean? You got progress report, you got report card. What you mean you didn't know? Like, at one point, you know, they're home with you now. So there is no excuse. When they were with me 8 hours a day, I'll take most of the blame. But I can't take the blame now because I'm not there. I can't see what you're doing. Now, one of my coworkers in Canvas showed me a great tool. When I post my work now, I could see them in real time doing their work. So I was doing that yesterday. The kids was like, I'm like calling them out. Lakeisha, you didn't even start yet. Like, let's go. And it is a game changer. So hopefully that would help keep students a little bit more on track. But I'm running out of ideas on how to really keep these kids engaged And I don't want to lose my fire because this is my passion. I feel like I'm living in my purpose.
I was going to talk about the hubs, the learning hubs that, so there's like, you have to pay essentially for your child to go to public school, but some of them go according to your income, and some of them, like if you got money, you could just pay the regular price. So those, that is also an option where they have the kids in a smaller setting as well, and then they could go to school, but it's not like they're necessarily going to be with their teacher. They're essentially still doing what you're doing at home, but they get that piece where they got to leave the house and, you know, things like that. So I know my Lyric School, the assistant principal, she has me on every committee possible, I swear. Like every time I turn around, I get an email like, oh yes, Miss Carol, she's always there, you know, so thank you, Mrs. Carol. I'm like, girl, I asked to be on this committee. I did not ask to be on this committee. I'm on the parent engagement committee. I'm the NAACP rep for the school, and I'm on the PTA. I even tried to step down from the PTA, and they just keep pushing me up. So when I tell y'all, I be busy. So I know y'all busy because I'm trying to work, be on three committees, be the mom, be a wife, be a teacher's aide, because that's what I call myself. I never said I was a teacher. I said I was a teacher's assistant. And then
you're in school yourself?
Yeah, then I started school. I don't know. I guess Corona got me bored. I just was like, oh, I should try new things in life. So it's like, whew. Overwhelming. But if there was a pro that each of you could give, like, so that virtual learning isn't, like, we have to make the best of where we're at. So what's a pro tip that you could give to a struggling parent?
My tip would be to extend yourself and your teacher, your child's teacher, grace, because as much as you're stressed, imagine that times 48, because I have to do this for 48 different kids. So extend yourself and your teacher's grace and communicate. Like you said earlier, if we can, it takes a village and we're a team. You talk to me, we can make things happen. You tell me what's going on. I'm the first one to work with you, but when you stop, but also come at me correct, because some parents take it like they forget that, yes, my title or my profession is teacher, but I'm a person first, and the Lord's still working on this mouth of mine. So
it be coming times you correct and doing your business hours.
Yes, there you go.
I have a few pointers. First of all, I have a schedule. We have a schedule. This is a school day. You are not home, and we winging it. There's a time you wake up. There's a time you're in school. There's a time you have lunch. There's a time you're out of school when you have snack and homework time. That we stick into a schedule. We cannot be winging it. Another thing that I am a proponent of is packing the breakfast and the lunch. Like, this is a school day. We're not figuring out what lunch is during lunchtime. Your lunch is packed like when the night before. So you come in here and you eat. We had lunch. The other thing that I've done that I think is helpful is knowing what your kids are working on and create a schedule for them so that they can check off. I am a list person. My kids are list people. We need to know what is expected of them for the day so they can check it off and have some level of accomplishment. The other thing is, if today ain't a good day, today ain't a good day. I email the teacher and say, Anaya is not having a good day and she will not be online today. And the teacher says, I completely understand because I don't want her disrupting my class if she's having a bad day. So we're not going to be online today. Communicating with the teachers and letting them know what you're able to do in your home, and letting them know that ahead of time so that they can be prepared for that is paramount in my house. And use your village. I have friends that can walk me through things that I don't understand, that can help me when I need to scream, that we can bounce ideas off of. Use your village.
All right. And my advice is take mental health days. Once a month, we don't log on to school. We don't do anything with school. I take him wherever he wants to go. Last week, we did a bike park. So we went to this little obstacle course. We ate lunch outside. We did whatever he wanted to do. We did nothing on the computer. We didn't step foot inside the learning room at all. We hadn't mentioned school. We just enjoyed the day. just to get a break from the whole school situation. So that's what we do to kind of get him excited about going back to school. I miss a day. I had a fun day, but now I need to go back the next day. And usually we do it on Wednesday since it's a half day anyway. Yeah, we do it on Wednesday. Or if it's like 70 degrees outside, we go outside.
To piggyback off Toya, I was going to also say the grace part. I think that is so important. And something that my therapist always reminds me is that you're doing your best. You know, as I said earlier, no one's ever taught in a pandemic before. We've never been home this long before. Everybody is doing their best with what they have and the supports around you. So that is my biggest thing. And making sure, you know, the self-care. I am a proponent of self-care. I have taken a mental day, and that's a good idea. I might tell my daughter, like, maybe Monday or Tuesday, look, just don't log on. Like, you know, because she keeps reiterating that she's over it. And I do hear her. She asked me to email her assistant principal and counselor to see if she can, like, stop going, because she's already had her credits. She's just doing a lot of electives. And she has a half day schedule. I don't know if that's going to go, because I don't think PG County does that. But I'll still put it out there and see what happens. But, you know, trying to keep her encouraged. And again, it's her senior year. And a lot of that whole experience has just been taken from her and her friends and all the seniors around the world. So we're doing our best.
Yeah, I agree with the everyone's just trying to do their best. Take it one day at a time. Every day is a new day. You might wake up, have a bad day one day. Take that day. And then when you wake up in the morning the next day, just try to look at it as a fresh start and just try to take care of your mental health and take breaks as needed.
So just to piggyback, I do think staying on a schedule is important. Where I am not as detailed as Miss Katisha over here, because I don't know what we're going to have for lunch at lunchtime. I mean, at lunchtime, I'm like, which I want to eat, and then we're going to eat. I do have my kids' schedules printed out behind me. This is my little desk area, so I can follow along with the time of the day. So I'm like, okay, you should be in art. So if I don't see her with art supplies out, then I know, like, hey, what's going on? Why you're not in art? If he's supposed to be doing PE, I'm like, hey, why don't you have the computer set up so that you can do your PE class? It is important to me that my kids wake up at a certain time every day. So they wake up at 7:45, even though Lyric doesn't have to be signed on until 9. Roland has to be signed on at 8:45. But we need that time to get up, wash our face, brush our teeth, use the bathroom, have breakfast, whatever the case may be, if we want to have a little meditation time, because Roland likes to meditate. So some days we do that. And I do find on days that we meditate, it is a better day for he and I. So I need to go ahead and make sure that I make that like a daily routine thing, like not just every so often. Like, it's something we may need to do, have those calming sounds to get the day going. Communicating with the teacher, you know, just have like, it's great. I hope that other teachers listen to this and realize that parents need you to have that open communication door, especially during this pandemic. But I've always been the parent that is like talking to the teacher like all the time, like, because I gotta make sure my kid don't fall through the cracks. Because whereas people may look at it like it's a stigma because he's a little Black boy, I do see that my son struggles. So I do know that he has problems focusing no matter the situation, like if it's at home, if it's at school. So I'm not going to do the disservice and ignore the fact that he may really have a clinical diagnosis. And it is okay if your child has a clinical diagnosis. That does not mean they are broken and you are not a bad parent because your child don't like the focus. So like everyone else has said, please extend yourself grace. You made it through the first market period. Prayerfully, your children ain't fail. If they did fail, just figure out what happened, okay? We still have a whole nother marking period for this first semester. So we have time to bounce back. So that's what we're doing. It's Project Bounce Back right now, right? We bouncing back, okay? Yes. But Is there anything else you all would like to say? Anything else? Oh, wait, pause. Whoop, rewind. Vaccine. First of all, we don't got a cure for cancer. We don't got a cure for AIDS. I'm not getting COVID vaccine. If you have something you would like to say, please do.
Yeah, I'm not getting that vaccine. And I don't care if the former presidents take it. For all I know, that could just be filled with saline or something else. How do I know that's really the vaccine? I'm good. I'll just try to take the necessary precautions. I do wonder though, just like how they require certain vaccinations for kids to even enter public schooling, how is this vaccine going to factor into that?
Well, welcome to Lakeisha Carroll Elementary School, if that's the case, honey, because we're not getting that vaccine.
Yeah, we're not getting the vaccine over here either. With our history of being guinea pigs and being tested on and poked and prodded as Black and Brown people, it's not happening for me. Additionally, have these people say that they got the vaccine. There's no way to prove that you got the vaccine. You want to open the world up? I'm not doing it. I don't get the first round of anything. I've got this stupid first round of iPhone and the joint got glitches, and I will not be subject to glitches with this vaccine.
Yeah, we're not getting the vaccine either. Like, I'll just continue with the precaution and pray for the best. We're not getting it. In a couple of years, we'll see, but I don't know if I would get it for my kids. We don't know the long-term effects of the vaccine. Get it now and they could be sterile and I won't have grandbabies. Like, we don't know what's going to happen 10, 15 years from now with this vaccine. So no for us.
Yeah, it's a no for me. I don't need the flu shot, so I definitely not getting some regular, let's test it out on you shot. No, I'm good.
Okay. No flu shot over here, honey. No, I did the flu shot one time because I was working for Kaiser. And if you don't get the flu shot, you have to wear a mask. And I'm claustrophobic. First of all, I'm struggling out here wearing these masks every day because I be feeling like I can't breathe. You know, I'm a little heavy. I just be like, that's what it sounds like with me behind the mask. And then don't have to wear your glasses in the mask. Ooh, child, it's struggling because I have to actually leave out to go to school 4 days a week. So those days at school, and I'm like, but dang, I gotta wear the glasses on so I can see. So it's a struggle. But I had to get the flu shot one time. And when I tell you my insides, like, you know, I like your veins itching. Imagine, like, you can't scratch your veins. So from my head down to the soles of my feet, my whole body was on fire, just itching because I'm allergic to the flu vaccine. So I can't do it. I got the flu vaccine one time and that's it.
But the other thing, I don't know if anyone watched the interview I think it was a press conference with our president-elect, Mr. Joe Biden, the junior. The journalist asked about Black and Brown people being apprehensive to getting the vaccine, and it's based off of not having adequate health care. All the presidents can get the vaccine. If something happens to them, they will have health insurance to go into a hospital or to go see their doctor and have care. There is a large segment of our population that does not have adequate health care. So if they get the vaccine and something happens to them, we now are creating another problem that we're going to have to fix. So all these things are related and connected in some kind of way.
Yeah, I was going to piggyback off of that. You know, we look at what happened with, was it the Tuskegee experiment? You know, people of color have always been the homeless. And then, you know, the next biggest population are the elderly. You know, they get taken advantage of. That's another population. If you don't have the right healthcare, you know, you're just going to be like, oh, well, we can use them. Because I was in the military. So it was mandatory for us to get flu shots. And I remember in basic training, I had to have my arm just like in a line getting shots. I didn't know what I was getting, you know, but it was mandatory. So yeah, the vaccine is going to be a no for me. And somebody said, well, some school districts might make it mandatory. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I'll contact my attorney and go from there because it has to be, you know, we when we were younger, we did the chicken pox and all that kind of stuff because that's what it was expected. But I don't have my daughter do the flu shot. I don't do the flu shot. And I feel like if I get sick, I have a faster recovery time because the body heals itself naturally. That's what it's meant to do. if we take care of it, you know, properly and all that kind of stuff. So it's a no for me.
Well, the one thing I can say during this panel discussion that we all could agree on was we don't want the vaccine.
I do get the flu shot. Just put that out there. I do get the flu shot.
Get your flu shot, girl. It's okay. The doctor asked me that I want the flu shot. I said no. She said, well, how are you going to protect yourself from the flu? I said, I'm going to stay in the house. That's what I told her.
And she don't stay in the house.
Hold on, wait. I mean, I have had the flu twice. And since having the flu shot, in which I had the bad allergic reaction, I have not had the flu. Knocks on wood. But the flu does suck, and I don't wish it on anyone. So anyone else who also is dealing with COVID in their family or themselves, you know, I'm wishing speedy recoveries, because this is a disease that we do not know about. And I am sensitive to the subject that it is serious. So is there anything else you all would like to say? You got something, Katasha?
Yeah, I just want everyone to, beyond this platform, the listeners, to, like we kept saying, grace, having grace for those people that are making a decision for 170,000 kids just in our school district. You know, something that may work in small groups may not work for everyone, and they're doing the best that they can to make a decision for the collective. And, you know, it is, I feel, when they talk about being a patriot and all that crap, but I feel like being a patriot means looking out for your fellow man. And even though something may make me comfortable, I can't put my comfort on anyone else. So I'm thinking about y'all kids. I'm thinking about kids, parents who ain't thinking about my kid, but I'm thinking about theirs, because I want everyone to be safe, and I want everyone to be, to be safe, and their families are safe. And I feel like, you know, until we get it figured out, this is the situation that, you know.
Thank you, Katasha. That was so beautiful, girl. That was so beautiful.
I just wanted to say thank you for presenting this platform for us to speak, because, you know, as teachers, as parents, I'm pretty sure we talk about them in our small pockets, but it's not always heard. So I thank you for having this platform so we can have this conversation, have this discussion, and just be a safe place to get your feels out.
And, you know, I'm thankful.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. I'm thankful that you all were willing to participate. So, you know, each week when an episode drops, I do post a question in the discussion group so that people who like-minded individuals, whether you're against it or for it, that you could just have a place to talk, because I feel like we don't have these open-ended conversations that, or a safe space to have them. I also have Kiki Lolo's Wine Down, where 9 times out of 10, everybody don't even be drinking, and the conversation start at 7 and don't end till 3 in the morning. We're always drinking.
What are you talking about?
I don't always wind down and don't drink. I don't always be drinking.
Well, I don't know what you be doing, but
it is a safe space. Drink.
As she gets her wine right now.
As she gets her wine right now. Because it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. So there is, that's basically what my platform is. Like, you just kicking it with me. I don't want it to be where you feel like you have to get glammed up. I don't want you to feel like you just can't say however you want to feel. You just talk. It's just talking. So that's what it is. Kiki Lola's Wine Down every other Friday. Because I'm in school now, so it started a little later. But, you know, I just really am thankful for you all to take time out your morning to join this panel and, you know, share your truths. And thank y'all. This is something that I'm doing on every episode of season 2. Okay. What y'all watching on TV? It's the what you're watching on TV segment. So right now, since people to who, what you say? Big Sky. Yeah, Big Sky, girl. I feel like Big Sky just opened, like, whoa, it gave us so much. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I keep watching it, because I'm like, how are they going to, like, make this, like, a season 2? Like, is it going to be a season 2? Because so much came out at one time. But Big Sky is really good. I am, like, glued to the tube. Go ahead, Danielle. What you watching?
Oh, gosh, I just watched a whole bunch of stuff. Trying to catch up on a lot of things. The Good Lord Bird, if y'all haven't watched that, that's really good. If you're a history person, you'll enjoy it. Ratched was good. Queen Sono. And a little late, but, you know, Wentworth. So that's the thing that I've been trying to catch up on. Wentworth. Micah got me hooked. That's my daughter. She got me hooked on that. And then, of course, The Masked Singer.
Okay. Okay.
All my shows are like on break right now. So like my Chicago shows, Kiki Fault. In the beginning of the pandemic, I was home pregnant, just eating Chicago everything. Wednesday. And yes. She got me on all the Chicago shows.
No, and they had the season off until January.
Until January, girl, how dare you?
I was like,
how
why dare you? They came in with like two or three episodes and then so boom, it was.
I was so mad. I was like, girl, when did it go? When
first did of it all, go? That Katisha said, I let me tell you. It was very intense. Okay. It was very intense because we could only watch Daytrina and I. We could only watch like the first, but Chicago has 8 seasons now, I think. Mm-hmm. So we could only watch the first 6 on Prime for free. Then when it came to PD, you could only watch the first 5 like that. So Daytrina bought PD and I bought Fire so that we could watch it. Then Katisha used both of us so she could watch both.
Account so I don't watch everything.
Then I watch Med. I watch all of it.
Then God, no wait, because guess what? Med wasn't out in the beginning of the pandemic. Oh. So I watched Fire, then I watched PD, then I was sad because I was like, I cannot buy 5 seasons worth of Med. But then God, only Amen. God. Okay, mm-hmm. Only God let it come out on Prime, and we was able to catch up, Daytrina and I. Mm-hmm. So when Chicago Wednesdays returned on that good old Veterans Day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, baby. Oh, Jesus. Let me see. Yeah. Let me tell you, we was able to watch all 3 episodes and be all caught up, okay? Yeah. I love Chicago Wednesdays.
So my Chicago Wednesdays is gone now. Then This Is Us is also gone. So those are my 2 shows I've been watching, but A Million Little Things gets me every time. For Life gives me life. I am emotionally attached to it. And My Potomac Ladies, have to watch My Potomac Ladies and then get on the Twitter.
Shout out to Monique, Team Monique. Yes,
Team Monique all day. Hashtag Team Monique. Hashtag Karen is the illest. Okay.
Hash queen, drag queen slay.
I watch the show and then I go on the Twitter and the Instagram to get the commentary afterwards. So those are the things that I am watching. Oh, and I'm waiting for Married at First Sight to come back in December.
That Atlanta seems good. We're gonna have interracial relationships, and I had a question about that. If y'all was following me on the Instagrams, I was like, can we have interracial relationships, friendships or relationships? Okay, go ahead. Anybody else who else watches something? Texera, do you watch TV, girl, or is TV watching you right now?
You know, I'm not watching any TV. I watched last thing I've been watching was Girlfriends.
On Netflix?
Yeah, on Netflix.
Okay.
And then I watched that Marshall movie. But yeah, you know I'm into music. You know.
Oh, so do you have a new album or you just listen to that good old 90s R&B?
What have I been listening to?
Come back to you. So what I will say,
that good old 90s,
good old 90s R&B. You can never go wrong with a classic. Never go wrong with a classic. If you all are not watching All Rise, please watch All Rise. It is about a Black judge named Lola Carmichael. She is the bomb. And her husband plays in For Life. And I was like, oh my God, that is so good. All Rise comes on CBS. So, okay. But don't buy CBS All Access trying to watch it because it doesn't work. I had a whole moment about that. So that's another episode, another season I didn't bought. Okay, so just holler at me if you're trying to watch the season because I didn't pay for it. So
I need to HBO so I could watch Lovecraft Country because I don't have HBO. I refuse to pay for HBO.
Oh, I pay.
Girl, hit me with a text, girl. So you can watch Lovecraft Country.
Will Smith.
Yes.
I did watch it.
That was good, too.
You was able to watch it, Katisha?
Yeah, because I got the HBO, girl.
I thought you said you did.
Not the mama code.
Oh, so it did work. Because you told me it didn't work.
I got my mama code. I download HBO Max on my phone, and then I airplayed it to the TV.
Smart girl, smart girl. Because I got it on the Apple TV, girl. That's not, so I did watch it. You know, I thought that was real good. I thought that was good. I don't know. I was looking for more, but it didn't give us much. But I ain't going to keep y'all. You know what I'm saying? I'm just so happy that, you know, we survived the first market period. It's almost winter break, so we're going to have some time off. Oh, Jesus, what we going to do with ourselves? Hallelujah. All right, so these are my key tips for everyone, though. I want you to stay 6 feet apart. I want you to wear your mask, and please wash your hands. Until next time, you just kicked it with Key.